Over the last few weeks, as a church, we've been going through an Advent series where we have looked at what it is for Jesus, a king who was born to reign, what it has meant for him to come and deliver the promise that God had made, not just to the Israelite people, but to us personally, that it delivers a truth that we knew that it was just not a plan that was for that time, but for all time. That he came as a willing servant. And we saw how Mary and John the Baptist and others served in the same way. We looked at the truth of the specific purpose that Jesus didn't just come randomly to earth hoping to find out what he was here for. But he actually came to minister and deliver the love of God to every heart that would receive it. What an amazing thing to come with a specific purpose. And today, just before Christmas, after 22 days of ruminating on this, we get to think about this Savior born that would come to earth and earth would receive him, but yet all of heaven knew the grand plan. So for them, it was an enormous celebration, which they could not hold to themselves. And as Titch was reading this morning, did you get the sense of the story coming to life? As the kids have shared a poem that releases that story once more, there is nothing like the good news. And the gift is Jesus, yes, but it's actually the good news of what he has done and delivered to us. But this was the birth of a king, a new king. All of the world was groaning, wrestling, under oppression. You hear as Titch reads, it's actually at the point of a census. The Roman Empire was ruling the world and they were resetting their boundary lines. And you know what they were resetting their boundary lines for? More oppression. They were going to become stronger and more powerful, and they were setting in place Augustus to reign over the region in a more powerful way, which for the Jewish people would have meant more oppression, more fear, more tyranny. And yet at the very same time where darkness, that would have been what it would have been like for those people at that time, they would have thought, man, darkness is spreading. This empire seems to be getting stronger. They're resetting. Now they want a census to number us so they know how to oppress us. At that very same time where darkness appeared to be spreading across the earth, we know that Jesus the light was born and God had his own plan for resetting the jurisdictions on earth, and it was from heaven. A new king meant a new hope, a new reality of the truth of what God would do. And all the earth, whether they knew it or not, was receiving a new king. And a new king brings a new kingdom, a new reign, a new rule, a new way of living. But the angels knew, and they could hold back no longer. They were rejoicing, and they were apparent. They were appearing. But what we find in this story, of course, is who angels chose to appear to was not the high and lofty, not those who had power and dominion, but those who were looking to walk in the fullness of a new way. But this was promised, friends, as promised. God had promised this down through the ages. There was nothing lost on the entire heavenly host of how long they'd been waiting for this. They had heard of the plan. They'd heard prophets. That heard God himself promise that Jesus would come. This son would be born in detail. And the Luke 2 account that you heard Titch read out, there is a big reminder of what the birth of Jesus actually was all about. There is the circumstances. There is the reality of how it happened. But there's also what it would bring, what it would do. Not just for this, not that time, but for this. There was a realization that came. There was receiving that happened as the angels sang out. They couldn't hold back from the anthem. There was praise given to the king, the newborn king. And there was rejoicing as people responded and realized, this is for me, personally. Friends, this is the good news. Luke chapter 2 is the good news. Every time you read the Bible or hear a scripture read, it's actually about Jesus. And Jesus is the good news. Everything about him, everything that's done in him and through him is good news. Isn't that amazing? Imagine living a life where there's no bad news coming from you. That was Jesus' life. He might have had to go through hard things. He might have had to fight and battle and through the things that we have had to struggle through, but he overcame everyone. So this is good news. I love that what Luke does is recaps the eternal moment that was actually going on. He says, actually, can I just define the moments here? And so I'll just put them on a page for you guys as, you know, to help you out. But we're going to look at these. He says, there's this Savior King. In verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. There's a moment where it's clear, Luke says, this is a Savior King. Humbly comes. You know, that inn or whether it was a house, what's clear is from even the original scriptures is it was where the animals were kept, which wasn't probably the place you would think of a king being born. But the reference to swaddling cloths is actually something to do with royalty was always wrapped in a certain way, in certain clothing. Humility, but royalty. A Savior King born in exactly the way that was prophesied. Mary and Joseph betrothed, going to this census, not yet consummating their marriage, but clearly together in marriage now, and having this moment where the baby is born. Can you imagine Joseph? He would have been like, seriously, right now? We're doing this now. You can't control the timing of the Savior coming, not even down to the fact if it's a census. The servants of God. Think about these shepherds. In the day, they were the most lowly people in the community. You know, if you couldn't get a job anywhere else, you went and looked after sheep. Some might think that's an elevated thing to look after sheep. I can tell you from my background, it is an interesting thing to do with your life. They're smelly. They're strong-headed. They've got a small brain. They often deliver unique circumstances that you wouldn't think of doing yourself. And that's what they had to deal with. They lived with the sheep. They stayed with the sheep. They must not leave the sheep. They weren't the owners of the sheep. They had to serve the master by being there. And yet, at night, they were up. So watch out if you're one of those people who stays up at night. Something could happen, right? They were watching and they were alert. And so that's where the angels decided to go, we've got an audience. We're going to go to the lowly, to those who God has come to prove that he has come, not just for the lofty and great, but for those who are humble and maybe even forgotten, put on the outskirts of a city. And the night shines bright, but then the angels release the anthem of heaven. They proclaim the truth. The line that they speak to the shepherds is, fear not. Can you imagine a host of angels, thousands of angels turning up when you're used to a nice, you know, silent night, holy, and poof, there's this anthem of heaven that explodes in front of you that looks more like a musical? Fear not. Seems like an interesting word that the angels always knew that someone was going to be fearing, didn't it? Fear not. We're just going to tell you the obvious. Fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. You guys are included. We're starting with you. And the angels continuing to sing the anthem that they've been singing for all eternity. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is well pleased. They knew that Jesus was going to restore something. He was going to release and remove the separation from God and man. He was going to bring a union that hadn't been seen since Adam and Eve. He was going to restore something even to a greater level. Peace is actually, the actual word written here in the original form talks about the nature of salvation. that when we come together with God, when we are restored to a good relationship, there is peace. There is no longer hostility, no longer separation. There is peace. That moment where you can just sit in a room together and everything's right. Not a word needs to be uttered. It is known. Everything is right. When he gets to give and share his benefits, and we get to receive his blessing. That's the picture of peace that this scripture is talking about. That's what the angels are singing about. That restoration. That nature of salvation that was coming. But the shepherds, they do something absolutely uncharacteristic of what they should do and their job role. They arise greater than the job they were doing. They went to serve the King of Kings. They got up and they left the sheep. That would take something. They left everything else because they saw this was a once in eternity moment that a good king and a new king had come. And in verse 16 it says, and they went with haste. They didn't just have a conversation about it. Should we really do this? You know, is there any policies we should be thinking through? What about, you know, unfair dismissal? What's going to happen here? Sorry, I'm just trying to make it a little bit more real. You can smile if you like. If you don't like, that's fine. And when they saw it, they made known. So they went, they saw the manger, they saw the baby exactly as it had been told. And then they saw it, they made known to them the saying that had been told concerning this child. What was the saying? That he would bring good news, that he would be the one who would bring great joy for all the people. This day, a Savior is born in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. Not just any baby, not just any king. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior. They were the voice. They were the announcement. They were the responders. First responders. First responders are very important. The first responders, they went and saw this new king. They left everything and they responded. And then when they came back, they weren't just praising, they were rejoicing. You know, when we praise because that's what's due. When you see someone who's done something great or whatnot, you're just like, man, that is amazing. But when you rejoice, it's become personal to you. It's actually been known by you. You have felt the blessing. You have been a part of it. You have shared in that moment. And then there's this full-hearted rejoicing that comes. We were doing that this morning as we're singing. But then there is this moment. And all of these are amazing eternal moments, friends, where the newborn king is declared. As it was for the tradition in Israel, 8 days, he was presented, anointed, consecrated. The firstborn child was given to God. That was the tradition of the Israelite community, was to always give whatever was firstborn to God, the first fruits to God. Mary's firstborn, taken, given, and given a name. And the important detail is he was given the name above every name, Jesus. Because Jesus was to be Christ, the Lord, the one who was anointed and reigning over everything and everyone, should they receive it. The name above all names. It was not only the good news in that day, but it was the fulfillment of the promise of Isaiah. Just listen to these words and let them hit your heart again. For unto us a child is born. It's personal, isn't it? For unto us a child is born. This is a prophet picturing what it's going to be like in that moment. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Wow, that was important at that time when Rome was ruling and dominating and desecrating and holding oppression over the people. And the name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That means Lord who is holy to me. The one who I have decided is my Lord and Savior. That's Wonderful Counselor, the one who brings the mightiness of God. It's paternal, Everlasting Father, the one who's come to us to replace any brokenness, hurt, even the best fathers in this room, God is greater and delivers a peace and a benevolence to his children, that we would no longer be slaves to this world, but we would be sons and daughters brought into a relationship. That he is the Prince of Peace. For all the anxiousness, frustration, all the things that we can't change in this world, the hopelessness we feel, he is the one who says, I will define you by my peace, my benevolence, my love. Perfect provision and tranquility. Think about what the world we struggle with maybe the most. Where will the next provision come from? Whether it's health, wealth, and tranquility. How do I get my mind to settle? How do I get my heart not to be troubled? How do I get my life not to be a whirlwind and affected by everything outside of me? God brings provision and tranquility that is internal, that affects the world around you. The beauty of the good news declared in Isaiah, of the increase of his government of peace, there will be no end. This peace isn't going to be for a moment. It's going to be forever. And the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. He is coming. He is delivering. He will do it. Fulfilled. In the moment that Jesus was born, unto us a child is given, and here is what he delivers. As promised, hope, joy, peace that is otherworldly, and the love of God revealed to us in that he had given his son. How does this good news impact us today? There's a good news that's been put out. We sing about it in carols, you've heard it. Maybe you've not been a church guy. Maybe you're someone who doesn't know Jesus. How does this affect us today? What is this really about? I hear the carols. I hear the prophecies. But what does it mean for me today? For all is one of the biggest inferences of everything the good news is about. Whether you're awaiting, you're sitting there, you're hoping something will change, you're in a place where something needs to change, you're waiting, you're wondering. It's interesting, those sheep might have been wandering, but the shepherds were wondering, what does this mean for us? Whether you're one who's joined and you're already praising God and trusting for what he has promised to be real in your life, whether it's the one who's rejoiced, I know this God, I know this Savior, I know what he's done in me. Or whether it's the one who's receiving afresh today, actually, I don't know if I've received everything forevermore and everlasting. There's a place for every person who's here today to respond to the good news and see what he has done. For me, one of the people who best describes what the good news means for us personally is the disciple John. And in his later letters to the church, he makes it even clearer what it has meant for him to walk with Jesus and his desire for us. What does John proclaim to us? He proclaims to us that this king has delivered something so powerful. That which was from the beginning. That's talking about the gospel, the good news. It was sitting there waiting to be unlocked. It was not an afterthought. It was in God's heart from the beginning. Which we have heard, this is talking of John and the disciples, which we have seen with our eyes, they saw it manifest. Which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. They're talking about Jesus. Jesus is central to the gospel. But it was there from the beginning. The life was made manifest and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was from the Father and was made manifest to us. Again, it's personal, isn't it? For John, it's come. I've received, I've heard, and I've partaken. I've engaged with this King, Jesus. He's saying this is Jesus, Christ the Lord, that the shepherds saw, that Mary carried. Not just a newborn babe, but the very one who would grow up to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was not a mythological shadow like was being talked about in the day of Greek mythology? He was an actual person. So John's making the point, he's not like one of your mythological gods. He's real. I've seen him. I touched him. I know him. The good news is the word of life. Everything God is about is life. And everything Jesus did brought life. But the good news, John goes on to say, is that which we have seen and heard, we also proclaim to you. So that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. There was a physical reality to his relationship with Jesus, and the existence was known. But there is nothing like sharing a common life in Christ. John didn't want it just for himself. He wanted everyone to know. And we write these things so that our joy may be complete. He writes these things because unless the gospel is shared, it's not fully experienced. And one of the greatest verses in the Bible, I think, is this is the message we have heard from him. Remember the shepherds taking a message? They took hold of the message. Now they carried it. John carries a message. Have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In any room that is dark, if you turn on the light, darkness has not overcome it. Light has overcome darkness. And that is what God does when he's received into our lives. We respond to him and we share to others the same reality. I wanted to ponder this. That your joy might be complete. Interesting. The full joy of the gospel is only experienced when shared. Wow. There's something about the fellowship, the sharing, what God has shared with us, with others. And that's when it's fully realized. Maybe the Christmas season has been transactional for you. It could be relational. And it could start with Jesus and spread out to others. I don't mind people buying them each other presents as a representation of the gift that Jesus has given to us and sharing it with one another as part of this communion. But if you're doing it because you're expected to, or someone's asked you to, oh my goodness, if I don't do that, then possibly it's not that, what Jesus has asked. So what an opportunity for us to redeem Christmas, friends, to take hold in our way of living of what God had always intended. Firstly, that just like shepherds and John himself, we get to receive this today. Receive afresh the good news of Jesus as a gift. Let this Christmas be made meaningful. As believers, we believe this is a gift we receive every day, but maybe it's a reminder that the good news of Jesus is a gift to us. What it did in us. And it's overflowing. Think of the angels. They couldn't hold back anymore. They'd been waiting for hundreds of years to express what they knew. I feel like some of you have been waiting to express what you know. Overflow with the joy of Jesus. But we need to remember, you know, that the gift of God was not like what came to humanity with the trespass, with sin. No one wants to take hold of something that's dying. We want to take hold of something that's living. For if many died by the trespass of one man, how many more did God's grace and his gift that came by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? Again, he has overflowed. He has overcome what has been in our lives maybe, which is receiving gifts that were tainted or challenged or actually they weren't a gift at all. We all know what it's like to get a bad gift at Christmas, don't we? Some of you are too holy to say that. No, Ben, I haven't ever received that. We all know what it's like to get a bad gift and go, thanks, I think. That's like the trespass, right? No, I don't want to say that. It's too heavy. But when you receive a good gift, you are like, oh, yeah, thank you for knowing me. Thank you for understanding me. There's a transaction that happens, but it's actually relational. You knew me. That's what it's like with Jesus. He knows you. He knows what you need, and he gives exactly what's going to cause you to rejoice. So we receive, firstly today, we just remember to receive. Whether we're singing carols or trying to get through Marion Shopping Center, or we just receive the good gift of Jesus. We just look upward for a moment, you know? We must hear. And as I, you know, any of you have got kids know, listening and hearing are different. Often my kids will say, I heard you. But it's only heard when it's acted on, okay? It's only heard, it's only resonated to the full reality when the arms and legs start moving. So this morning, what's that? Oh, Trina says obedience. That's a heavy word too. There you go. But it has reached your arms and legs and they respond. You know, a lot of Australians are going internally berserk and it's just like, oh, I'm having a party on the inside. However, when it reaches our reality, we know that we have heard. We wait on God. We wonder, God, what could this mean for me in this time? We praise him. Even though I don't understand this, I will praise you. I will respond. My whole body, my whole being will respond to you and I will rejoice. There's a process that goes on in our heart as we receive him, as we hear from him this good news. Let the good news resonate this morning. It's for you and all those who are with you. And the best part, as we've learned this morning, is this is to be shared. Not just talked, shared. The very peace of God, the hope of God, the testimony of God. Hear what John says. He testifies. This is what God's done and it's been made manifest and it's real to me. And now I proclaim to you that it's for you also. He doesn't proclaim who it's not for. He proclaims who it is for. It's for all. Share the good news of the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Many people at this time, sometimes the darkness, the empire, is closing in. That's not a Star Wars reference. The empire is closing in. Oppression, heaviness, darkness, and they need to hear, hey, I took hold of the light of the world. It's lit up my world. It can light up yours. The peace, the love, the joy of God. And it will overcome. Overcome the darkness. Salvation is to be fully alive, full of life, and lit up. I was going to say like a Christmas tree, but that wouldn't be everybody's favorite thing. But lit up, known. And you know what? I'm talking to Australians here. We don't want to stand out, right? We don't want to stand out. We don't want to stand out in any way. We don't run to the standout moment and we berate those who do. But the kingdom says, you stand with God and you will shine like a light. So focus on the reality that he has received you. He's heard your cry and he's shared the greatest gift with you. We simply follow what he's already done in the way that we walk with him. And so as the band comes up this morning, we get to sing this last tune. We had praise before. But I pray that this has come to you, that you receive the good news of what Jesus can do in and through your life, that you've heard it, it's resonating, and that the way we start to share this is we lift up our hearts, we lift up our voices, we lift up our hands and we say, I am one who will share the light. I will resound with the truth. and all those with me. And I'll have fellowship with God, and we'll have fellowship with one another. That's the unity that only God can bring. As you start here, maybe it'll continue into your family, into your work colleagues, into your, that you'll be able to share in the way that God ordained you to under a new reign, as under a new king, in a new way. Because this is a shared value that we hold. Lord God, this morning, would you pray with me? We're going to just come together and then we're going to worship. Lord, as we come towards you, we know that you have offered yourself. You have made a way where there was no way. You have overflowed towards us with your goodness and your kindness. Father, that you have given your only Son, that we might know the ever-increasing peace, the restored relationship with God, being right with God. And that, Father, we can return to what we were always first and foremost made to do, which was to overcome the darkness that is around us and live in the fullness of your light. So, Lord, wherever we are this morning, wherever we've come from, the waiting, the wondering, the praising, the receiving, the responding, Lord God, we come to you together this morning, Lord God, with no one left out. And we want to join in the chorus of the angels, saying glory to you in the highest, because you are righteous and just. We sing that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bring your peace this morning to hearts. Make it known. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and you would make this personal to every person in this room and watching online, to know your grace, your peace, your love, and your complete joy. In Jesus' name, amen.